Welcome to the Diversity on the Hill podcast
with Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Curcio.
Here are the ground rules for our conversation.
Respect one another.
Openness.
No assumptions allowed.
Mistakes are welcome.
And let's grow together.
Enjoy the conversation.
Why, hello there. Welcome to the Diversity on the Hill podcast. I'm PJ. And for some reason, the person across from me is laughing.
Man, you just have an ability to just adapt the way that you do these welcomes. That is just beyond me. I love it. I love it. I just don't know. So see, we don't plan how we're going to start. We don't plan how we're going to, what we're going
to
discuss.
I think it's evident to them that we don't plan. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone.
I just love it. Like, it catches me, and I hope that it brings them the same joy it brings me every time you introduce us. This is great. This is PK here, by the way. And you are listening to the Diversity
PK, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, mercy, Lord. I wish that was true. But no. I just am honored to be able to do this podcast, record this podcast with PJ, who is the true legend.
No. I mean, I'm legendary in certain ways, but mainly buffooneries.
Oh, you and me both.
Legendary buffooneries.
And you can always reach us at diversityonthehill@gmail.com. Make sure I get that plug in early, and on the IG at diversityonthehill. So, PJ.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Woo-woo! Let's go!
Probably early. People are probably saying, no, Thanksgiving hasn't even happened yet.
True. I don't want to overlook. We had this conversation before.
We have it all the time. And Christmas is upon us. Have you been to Walmart?
Oh, anywhere. Christmas. Costco, you name it.
The problem is I haven't been to Costco lately.
Oh, well, yeah. They're already decked out.
I might go today.
As a matter of fact, before Halloween,
I did see
they had Christmas stuff. So I was like,
I did like that. You know why? Because I don't like seeing the Halloween stuff. I'm not a Halloween dude.
You and me both. But by the way, it was very nice though that a lot of these retailers are no longer opening on Thanksgiving for Black Friday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like, what? Well done, guys. They're taking care of their employees.
Some of them started that last year. Yeah.
Sure. But I'm saying they're following up on that.
Good.
And they're just opening normal times, basically, for the most part, on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of them are opening a little bit earlier, like the 5 o'clock or whatever. But no more of this sales begin at 6 p.m. on Thursday or 8 p.m. on Thursday, that kind of stuff. No more.
No more.
So their employees can actually be with their families for Thanksgiving, which I think is a wonderful step. Mm-hmm. In the right direction.
Did I ever tell you about maybe I did. I can't remember. We talk about so much stuff here.
Yes,
we do. The Black Friday story. When I waited in line for Black Friday once.
I don't remember, but go ahead. Remind us, please.
Well, anyways, for those of you, we used to do Black Friday, me and Alana.
Yeah.
Like when we were young, before we had kids.
Yeah, actually, my wife and I did too.
When Kaya was really small, we went out a couple of times. Super early in the morning. Mm-hmm. This was when we were living out in California. But one year we were visiting Nashville. We were visiting her parents when they lived in Nashville. So we were there and everyone was going to bed. And one place, it was an Old Navy. Mm-hmm. This was Old Navy. Old Navy was opening at midnight.
Oh.
Right. And I was kind of a late night guy. I'm still a late night guy sometimes. And I was like, hey, if it opens at midnight, I'm going to go see how the line is, because they had a video game that they would give you for free if you spent $40 of clothes.
At Old Navy?
Yeah. It was weird.
Okay.
It was a Nintendo video game. It was a Mario game.
Nice.
And it's a $60 game. Well, it was a $50 game. $50 game. And you'd get it for free if you spent $40
on clothes. I would have taken advantage of that.
And I was like, I need some jeans.
Yes.
I'll go get some jeans. I'll go get a couple things of clothes and get the video game for free.
Of course. Right? Yeah, I'm there.
So I went to check the line to see if it was long. It wasn't that long. There was about 20 people in front of me. I was like, I'll just wait here. It was 10 o'clock. I was like, I'll wait here for a couple hours to see what's happening. And so I waited for the experience and nothing. And the line was kind of getting bigger as it got close to
midnight. Yeah.
Midnight. Mm-hmm. And I could tell no one was in line for the video game. I was probably one of the only ones, right? It was all these, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No one was in.
They just didn't seem like gamers.
Yeah. They were handing out tickets for it too. And everyone's like, what's this? Anyways, I was like, oh, cool. No one really wants this. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get in, get my jeans, get my game, and I'm out.
Sure.
So like, cool. I got myself my own Christmas gift this year. So, but we're about 15 minutes beforehand. this is about to open. Mm-hmm. And you know how lines can get. So this line was getting long, and now people were starting to kind of crowd to the front that weren't in line. Mm. And you could see everyone in the line who had been there for 2 hours just kind of like staring at these people. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Why are you there? The line's back there. And so they were just sitting there, and as it was getting closer, the people were coming out, hey, we're about to open up soon. And so these people kind of got in the line in the front.
Like they were cut on the
I don't know if they were going to cut, but they definitely looked like it. And I was just like, I was still counting because I needed about 60 people
right.
to make sure I got the game. I was like, oh, I need to be one of the first 60.
Yeah.
And because they're handing out the tickets right when you get in there. And I was like, I wasn't fretting too much, but I was, you know, I've been in line for 2 hours.
Sure.
And there's a little bit of justice in you. Like,
of course.
Wait a second. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going to make a big fuss about it. But people started to make a big fuss about it.
Ooh.
And it was getting interesting. And it was all ladies, by the way.
Oh.
There was very few guys in this line. It was Old Navy.
It's Old Navy, yeah.
People are going for clothes. So listen to me. They're going to get 30, 40% off of jeans. We're talking about jeans and shirts. Okay, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not talking about big ticket TV items, stereos, or like all these big ticket.
You're talking about clothes.
We're talking about clothes. Old Navy clothes. It's not like it's super expensive, prestigious clothes.
It's not Louboutin or
Right. We're
Gucci
not going to.
Hugo Boss.
Of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's no Coach purses in there.
Yeah.
So I'm not. First off, why are you butting in to do this?
Right.
And then all these other people are freaking out. And I was like, well, why are you getting so upset about this? We're talking about jeans and sweaters, right? And before I know it, people start throwing fists. Ladies start throwing fists and fighting.
Are you serious right now?
Totally serious, right in front of me.
Oh, man.
It was like three people in front of me, and they're just like going at it, and they're yelling and they're cursing. I'm like, this is over jeans and sweatpants. What are you doing? The sweater's not that nice.
No, you need
to be throwing fists.
Yes,
And it kind of started to crowd. And right next to me was a little kid. This little kid was in line really late. It was like a 2-3-year-old, barely walking. And they're starting to kind of crush in a little bit.
Sure.
And so I turned to the kid and I kind of put my, like, whatever. I put myself in the way of the wall.
So
there's no crushing of the kid.
Right.
And then,
collateral damage.
Yeah. And so finally, I also pick up the kid because stuff starts to happen. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Now the mother looks, and after things stop, she like takes the kid away from me. And I'm like, oh, I'm just like
trying to protect your kid, man. Like,
you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to say, you're welcome.
Oh, my word.
First off, your kid shouldn't be out here 12 o'clock at night. I don't care. It's jeans and sweaters. And they're throwing fists.
Oh, my God.
Because of the queue.
You know, it's funny that you say that because
it was a truly Black Friday that day.
No. I was gonna go, and I guess I don't want to take us on the hill so fast if you wanted to take a break, but this whole idea of collateral damage, right? And how we're getting reports out of Israel and Palestine war where over 400 women and children are dying daily.
Wow.
In the way that they're behaving themselves and bombing stuff, right? And kudos to you for watching what's happening and, first of all, behaving like a Christian, and second of all, trying to protect the kids. I know you're not trying to praise yourself for what you're doing.
Well,
this is me paying attention
I
and saying
am praising
thank you
myself.
For doing that.
I did protect that kid.
You did good.
I did protect that kid, so, but I probably shouldn't have been out at midnight on.
Before I keep going down that road, right? Because there's some more to talk about. I don't know if that's going to be the focus of today's conversation. But did you get the game?
I got the game.
Okay, because I was going to say after all of that experience, I hope you got the game.
No, I got the game.
Because that
would have
been okay. Good.
Yeah,
good.
No, I was not going to be happy about it. I was going to start throwing some. No, I do really want to talk about Israel and Palestine a little bit, but I don't want to do it this week.
Okay.
We're still trying to get someone who knows a lot more about stuff.
Sure, give us a
perspective. We're actually trying to get Lisa. Lisa, if you're listening,
PC.
Will you come back to the States? Stop
Please.
Traveling. So I don't know how you travel so much. How did you get this gig that you get to travel everywhere and say, I'm just taking kids or I'm going on a conference? Hey, hook a brother up.
Come on, talk to the kids right here.
I want to go to a conference in another country.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, PC knows. She knows. She was like, so sorry.
So for those of you who've been missing her, so have we. We've been trying to get her on the podcast.
Yes, we are.
But, you know, she's probably tired of educating us.
No, it's all good.
These college kids, they learn, those two.
So she's coming, but she is kind of tied up right now going all over the place. And I told her, look, I'm happy for her that God is using her as a tool all over the world to be a blessing to everyone around, to educate them.
Yeah, come on, PC, we need to come on. We need to fight. We need to, you know, discuss things and get upset at each other. And
speaking of fight, I started a devotional.
What does it have to do with a fight?
That is titled Fight.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. And it's talking about it's for men, right? Mm-hmm. It's focused primarily for men.
It's called
and
Fight.
It's called Fight. And Craig Rochelle, he's the one who wrote that devotional. He's really good. And at least in my opinion. And once again,
the opinions of Curcio do not reflect the opinions of the Georgia Cumberland Conference.
Or the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for that matter. But the point is that his point is we are all in a fight. In a spiritual fight.
Oh, yes. Right?
It's a spiritual warfare. And anyhow, it was pretty neat. But anyways,
I can prescribe to that. Anyways, let's take a break. And we're just going to talk about something a little lighter today. And, you know, we're going to try to do a light, heavy type of pattern here in the future. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we won't.
Who knows?
Who knows what we're going to do? I mean, come on. Anyways, listen to a few moments of music while we sit here and reflect on our lives. We shouldn't fight so much. Wow, what a reflection time. Oh, sorry, here's the music.
That was great.
And we're back.
Okay, I thought we were back before.
No, we weren't back before. I was still reflecting.
Anyways. All right, I'll make sure to edit it that way.
All right. I saw this article, People with Poor Speech Etiquette. Do you feel like you have poor speech etiquette?
Oh, Lord. It depends.
Okay. So I know I'm not the most highbrow talker, right? I know I have slangs and idioms, but I don't think of myself as a poor etiquette speaker.
Yeah.
But maybe I do.
You might have to give us some context on what the protocol is, because I'm not eloquent either, right? That's not my gifting, I don't believe. And that's why I'm saying... Please give us some framework on what the etiquette.
I have no idea. I'm just going to tell you what this article says.
Sure.
Yeah. And I do know there are times when I don't have etiquette, like miss manners, like food stuff. Like I don't have that.
Like when you were eating on the podcast while we were recording?
Yeah, kind of thing. I will definitely do that. I mean, really why do you have to bring that up? I mean, that's pretty poor etiquette.
No, I was eating too.
No,
this was both of us.
No. So there are certain people who have etiquettes when you sit down, like, you know, forks go on this side.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha,
you don't start eating till the hostess comes.
Sure.
You don't eat dessert till the hostess comes and eats, unless it's ice cream, then you can. And then there's like these, here's the things you do, here's the things you don't do. Like, I don't know any of those rules and I don't care about any of those rules. So I break them a lot.
Sure.
But I also, like, when people try to have etiquette at my house with me, I tell them, Don't wait for me. The food is hot.
Yeah.
Just eat it.
We've gone to restaurants and do that. And
yeah, I don't want people, because I told them, I'm not going to wait for you. If my food's hot, I'm going to eat it.
Right.
So you just eat it.
Which, by the way, you've influenced me in a positive manner to do the same, because it's true. It's if somebody's food comes sooner, right?
Yeah.
And people like to eat their food hot,
by
right?
All means,
it's also kind of you. So that's PJ kind.
Exactly.
There we go.
Exactly.
See? There you go.
But it all stems from the fact that I'm not going to wait, so you don't have to wait. But anyways, I tell people that at my house all the time. My wife always like, because she was raised with more of an etiquette, miss manners type of like, and there's a nice, and it's nice, and there's a place for it, but I just don't prescribe to it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, no, I'm done.
Anyways, people with poor speech etiquette always use 7, and then it has in parentheses, rude phrases. Says public speaking expert, right? So there's a public speaking expert. Rude phrases.
Okay.
And I want to get your input on this,
sure.
On whether they're rude and how.
I was going to ask you.
Because I got to be honest, I might be rude. But anyways, here we go.
All right.
I'm trying to see who this person is. But as a public speaker trainer, this is a person who teaches people to speak publicly.
Sure.
And we speak publicly all the time.
Yes, we do.
So this is very interesting. I'm curious as to what other people says. But here are the seven rude phrases, we'll go over them one by one, that people with poor speech etiquette always use and what to say instead.
Okay.
All right. Number one, do you want to ... Do you want to?
I don't understand how that's rude, though.
I don't either. I don't get it. This one was like, ooh.
Well, would you like to, maybe?
So here's one of the phrases. That? Here's one of the phrases that says you shouldn't do. Do you want to go to lunch with me? I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Like I ask you, hey, you want to go lunch? Do you want to do lunch?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing? Hey, do you want to do lunch with me?
Yeah.
I don't know what's rude about that. I'm trying to figure that out. Now, here's one that they said is kind of another way, but as a way of delivering orders. Oh, never mind. I read this wrong.
Okay.
It's actually good to say, do you want to go to lunch with me? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. All right. Now, all right. So I'm not rude anymore.
Okay. Okay. Because I was like, that's kind of hard.
I don't know what else to say.
What's the rude statement?
So
then?
Here's the rude way to use it.
Sure.
Once again, we make mistakes all the time on this podcast. And I made one in real time.
But that's part
of
our rules.
We're not going to edit that out.
No, that's part of our rules.
Because we're real. No, here's the way. It says when you're, as a way of delivering orders, it's rude. So, do you want to take out the trash? They say that that's rude because it's indirect faked politeness comes across as belittling.
Oh. Okay.
So,
I can kind of
see that.
Kind of.
Because when people ask me, so, you know, in all transparency, when my wife says, hey, do you want to do that? Or, I don't know. Do I want to do that? Do you want to wash the dishes? No, I don't want to wash the dishes. But if you want me to wash the dishes, I will wash the dishes.
That's very, very PJ kind of you.
No.
See, there it is.
No. That's not PJ kind at all. That's. I guess, so if you're saying, hey, do you want to take out the trash? If you really want them to take out the trash, I can see how that is a fake politeness.
Okay.
Does it belittle you, though? Like, if I were to say to you, hey, man, do you want to...
No.
Do you want to pick up that piece of trash that you put on the floor?
I don't feel, no.
I mean, I can see how it's indirect and a little passive aggressive.
Sure, but that, I don't know. I don't know that I agree that that's a rude statement.
Personally, I would rather be told something directly than to be asked the question.
If that's what they want me to do. Thank you for reading my mind. That's the direction I would like.
Yeah. So instead, they say, as a courteous broach to saying, will you do me a favor? There's the polite part. Hey, will you do me a favor and pick that up? Or... will you do me a favor and take out the trash?
Okay.
But so, it's kind of similar, isn't it?
Yeah,
like if I'm asking my son, hey, do you want to do me a favor?
Yeah.
When it's my son, I just like, hey, take out the trash.
I don't
ask him questions. Do you want to take out the trash?
I guess it's the context. If you're going to talk to, let's say you had an administrative assistant and you were telling them, do you want to pick up my dry cleaning or something like that? I don't know.
It would just be like, are you comfortable? There's another way. Like, are you comfortable doing this if they want? But if you're actually telling them to do something, I'm a big fan of not asking the question, of just telling them to do it.
Sure.
Hey, I need you to do this.
I agree. Like, that's just, anyways.
But is it rude?
I don't know that it's rude, but anyhow. All right, let's see what other examples they give us.
Here's number two.
Okay.
Here's the thing. So here's the thing.
I'm listening. What's the thing?
That's it.
Oh.
That's the phrase. Here's the thing.
Okay. I'm like, all right. Where are you going with that? Okay. So here's the thing.
The phrase insists that whatever follows will be final, authoritative, and take the subject, take on the subject at hand. So here's the thing. When I say that, I'm saying, here's the thing. That's it.
Sure, but then that goes back to that whole point of your opinion. Anything you say after that is probably your perspective. So to you, it is right, and it could be finite. It's like the same thing when I took the phrase from Stephen A. It was like, the reality is, right? The reality of the fact is, and you say that, this is my reality. This is my truth.
But you're saying the reality of the fact. So you're saying what I'm saying is reality and fact.
Correct.
So if I can see how someone, when they're, like that one's a little more like direct.
Sure.
To me, when I say, here's the thing, I don't think I'm saying, here's the thing. I think I'm saying, here's the thing that I think.
Okay.
But they're implying that when you say, here's the thing, you're saying, no, this is the final word.
Sure. Based on their opinion. So therefore,
they're
to
saying
them,
even
it's right.
when said inadvertently, it can sound a bit self-important.
Well, of course it is, because you're sharing your opinion.
But is my opinion that important? I mean, to me, it
to
is.
You, it is. That's my point.
Yeah, but
so,
you
but
know.
But okay, it could be rude. I guess it could be rude.
It says here's what the say is said instead. If you're offering an opinion, consider prefacing your remarks with "I think." Here's the thing. I think that I can say. Here's the thing. Did I fix it?
No, I guess you did. You know, here's what I think, or
here's what I think.
In my honest opinion,
here's the
thing, that's a popular one.
The thing that I think. Oh,
it's just confusing.
Interesting.
Anyhow, all right. What's the next one?
All right, number three. Right. Yeah. Right. In recent years, here's what it says. In recent years, it's become normalized for this pushy rhetorical nudge to follow questions. Right?
Right. I don't see where.
At best, it's a useless bit of filler. I can get that. Here's the thing about right. Like, to me, it's almost like you're insecure and you're looking for affirmation.
Sure.
That's when people use it and it annoys me.
I see where you're coming from.
It's an annoying thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, I agree. Yeah, and you're right. It is. You are seeking for affirmation.
So wait, there's a new right though.
Okay.
And I use it all the time.
Okay.
And everyone uses it all the time. And now that I think about it, man, I might be annoying people.
Well, maybe not everyone, because I don't know. Let's see.
Well,
how do you use it? Because I probably don't use it.
You know what I'm saying? When people say, you know what I'm saying? Isn't that kind of the same thing as saying right?
Yeah, I used to use that a lot growing up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know I still use it from time to time. Like, hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's if they're tracking with what you're saying and if they're clear, because that also gives them the opportunity to clarify and say, like, for instance, last week when we were talking about, you know, about Trump and I misunderstood Keith's question.
I just convinced you so quickly.
Without even realizing it. You just looked at me and I changed my opinion. Look at that.
Man.
The power of your eyes, right?
The power of the persuasion.
Right?
Eyes are so persuasive.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. So this is it. This is it right there. But anyhow. Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know how that's rude.
So
but.
To me, right, and you know what I'm saying, it all depends on how you're saying it.
Sure.
You know, if you kind of come across as a know-it-all and you say right, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's possible. It says instead, ask instead, if you want someone's opinion, ask in a neutral way rather than demanding confirmation. You're not demanding conversation.
If they're saying right.
Confirmation.
Yeah. Well, if you say right, then.
I could easily say wrong.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm not tracking with what you're saying.
Well, that's what but then again, I guess we're a little bit more upfront with our communication, but I don't know. Go ahead. What's the next one?
I try to be. All right. So number four is, figure out a way.
Figure out a way. I can see how that one can be a little.
That could be a little bit rude.
Yeah.
The phrase is a conversation ender.
True.
Mm.
That's true.
And it says it's mean. I do think that there are times in which this can be used when it's not rude. It may be a way to end, and it may be. It may be direct, but I can see it. Like, to me, this is a way of not being passive aggressive, but just aggressive.
Right.
Which I think people want more of.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So if someone, let's say I'm working at camp and someone's saying, hey, listen, there's a thing, there's this problem, and we've been hashing it out for a while. And I just figure out a way. We need to get it done.
Right.
Yeah. We need to find a way to get it done.
So again, I love sports, right? So my mind goes there. If a coach, I'm telling him, he's beating me. I just don't know how to cover him. And he's like, well, figure out a way. Yeah. You know, to me, that's not a, oh no. It's, he believes that I can do this. I just got to figure it out.
Sure.
So take a moment to.
Now I can see how this can be rude.
But
I can see.
It can be.
It depends if, once again, to me, it's also how you deliver these, right?
Sure.
And the kind of relationship you have with the person.
Sure. Agreed.
You know, if we're like me and you, if we're planning a trip and you're like, man, I'm having trouble. I'm like, well, figure out a way. We got to figure out a way.
Correct.
Like, you wouldn't get upset at me.
No.
I'd probably get upset at you.
I'd be like, mini boss. Mini boss.
I mean, I think there are better ways. Hey, listen, let's figure out a way together.
Yeah.
or how can we problem solve? But if you've been problem solving for a long time, there are times when I've had to use things like this. I'm just sure. We just need to get it done.
But I don't see that as rude. I feel like that's assertive.
Should it be more inclusive, though?
Is that what their argument is?
I don't know. It says what to do instead. Warmer language with an open approach will always encourage better exploration of solutions. A simple shift might be to say, well, let's talk about it and figure out a way. What if you have been talking about it and figuring out a way?
Like, if you've already been talking to that point, well, let's continue talking and figure out a way.
And if it's that person's job, let's say I hire someone to do something, like, oh, I just can't. Well,
you know, this article must be focused on Gen Z. Like, how
I didn't say that. That was a PK, for those of you who are wondering.
You know, I don't know if it's kind of addressing that generation where they're a little bit more sensitive when it comes to how we address them. But
are they really, though? I'm trying to figure out, are they really?
I've read a couple articles about it.
Yeah, but when adults spoke to me when I was a kid, I was a little...
chippy?
Yeah, I was a little chippy. Like, how dare they talk to me that way?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how much know-it-all the kid is.
I'm just not sure we're all that different, generationally. I think we get into that, well, back in my day, well, kids these days...
Sure. I mean, again...
I remember some of the same complaints.
They do talk about millennials. I know that's right after your generation. I don't know why I got lumped into that. But the point is that they are more sensitive already. Like, they're saying that my generation is sensitive. Yeah. So then they're saying the generation after ours. And then let's not even get into the alphas. All of these people, like... get more and more quote unquote sensitive. But I guess it's just also that shift from being more, the word that's being used is inclusive, right? And taking others into consideration. I think that's what their focus is. I haven't read the article, right? So this is just me surmising some of these points that you pointed out and saying, it just sounds like, yeah, we can always find better ways to communicate in a way that people can feel less demeaned.
I want to have a Gen Z and a millennial on this and talk about these things. That'd be good. Part of me thinks that they just need to toughen up.
But again,
part of me also thinks, well, they're just communicating in a different way. And there's ways that they aren't. Like, they'll say things that are inappropriate and tough to each other and be okay with it. And we're like, you shouldn't be saying that. Like, oh, we're just kidding.
Sure. Again, I don't consider sensitivity as a weakness or something that is negative. Either. Mm. Like, we can look at it and say these kids are becoming more and more quote unquote sensitive, right? Mm. And maybe mean it in a derogatory way or in a mean way, but the reality is sensitivity is not a bad thing.
Well, see, that's where our language has to come in, because I did say it kind of in a negative. Can't say it as a negative. Oh, they're just too sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about sensitivity towards other people. I'm talking about maybe their skin isn't as thick as it should be. Mm-hmm. In certain situations, because life is tough and you need to be able to deal with hard situations without thinking the whole world revolves around you. And that's what I mean. But and so that's why you have to have conversations with people.
Right. I agree. But then it's also some might argue. And as you look up the next saying,
we have three more sayings.
But the other side, someone looking at the dynamic will say the people who are trying to say that they need to be tougher and have thicker skin is also using it as an excuse to excuse their behavior. Mm. Right? Like you're just trying to say, I don't want to change how I operate. So therefore you just got to take it. You got to be tough enough. Right? So that's what I'm saying. I don't know that sensitive or the word sensitive is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad thing.
That we also have to analyze why we want to stick to our guns when it comes to how we behave and how we speak. Because I think that is also telling about our willingness to compromise or not.
Well, that can go down a whole nother road words we use. And are we able to adapt? Because we are in a new world where pronouns, people want to be called.
Right. This is exactly what I'm thinking about. So,
like, when do we stick to our guns? When do we not? When do we stand up for the things we believe in? When do we not? When do we... So
yeah, we don't have to go down that rabbit hole.
It's a good conversation for to have with some younger people.
All right, what's another phrase?
Number five is it is what it is.
It is what it is. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I've when I usually hear that, it's usually not in the most positive term.
But that's a conversation ender, because what else am I going to say after that? It is what it is.
It is what it is. I've used it, but I don't think it's, yeah.
Rude though? Like, no, it just, if, okay, now, I can see how it can be rude if mm-hmm. I came to you and I was like, PJ, you know, I wish you
stop calling me a name.
No, fine, whatever. Right. I didn't just have a good example. Yeah. So then the idea is, and you're like, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, now that I can get how it can be rude.
Like, well, do you remember when Trump said it? He said it about something, not, I don't know. I can't remember the situation, but everyone freaked out about it. Ah, I do believe in, depending on your situation, you need to know how to use it and not use it.
Sure.
I mean, if, you know, someone says, hey, there's this terrible thing happening. We, oh, well, it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's a fair
point. So are you not going to do anything about it? Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point.
It says it lacks empathy.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Or it says try offering curiosity and empathy to get through. Like, hey, tell me a little bit more about this. Sorry, it's tough. Sorry, you're going through that.
All right. I can see it, but that's turning more into like coaching and counseling. Yeah. Like, not all your conversations are going to be a counseling conversation. You know, it's like, life is hard. It is what it is.
Well, like, this is someone saying public speaking expert. So maybe they're saying, hey, listen, when you speak publicly, but he's just saying these are things you're used on a daily basis that.
Right. Because, I mean, you don't use these phrases. I don't use these phrases often when I'm speaking publicly.
I mean, I do number six, obviously.
Oh, the right one? Was that right? Oh, number six is obviously? Yeah. Oh, I like what you did there. That was sweet. All right.
Obviously.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. So that one can sound mm-hmm. like, yeah, there's no room there.
But what if it really is obvious? Can you not use obviously? I mean, because I've used it with friends. Listen, obviously the Lord is the most important thing.
Sure.
Right?
But not to someone who doesn't believe in the Lord.
But obviously they need to hear.
According to our standard, you're right.
Obviously, yeah. I need to give them the good news of the gospel. So if they don't think it's obvious,
but that's
it's obvious.
But that's like the words always and never. And mm-hmm. like obviously kind of fits in there a little bit where it's like you don't want to use those words because it's not always obvious. It's not always, always. It's not never, never.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's when anyway. Someone says something that's obvious and you go, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. That is kind of rude though. But like look, if my daughter tells me obviously, I do want to like bop her upside the head. I'm not gonna lie.
But it depends what she says. If she says like,
but I do that to her. So
if she says to you, obviously, Dad, the Giants aren't good.
Yeah, yeah. I say
you're gonna be like, okay, yeah, that's not rude.
Duh, it's true. No, absolutely.
Yeah. You're right, obviously.
Obviously. Okay, what do they recommend we use instead of obviously?
Skip it all together.
Whoa.
And remember that silence can be a beautiful thing.
Whoa. So just stay quiet?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, obviously they're wrong.
Right.
But
right?
Number seven.
Okay, what you got?
If you want my honest opinion, or I was just joking. I don't think those are the two same thing. But anyways, I don't know why they lumped them together. If you want my honest opinion, or I was just joking. I do have a problem, and I'll say it. I'll use it from time to time, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that everything I say is honest.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go, so I'm glad you brought that up.
If you want my honest opinion, no, I do. Well, in reality, we don't always want everyone's honest opinion.
That's fair. That's fair. That's
and we need
good
to be honest enough with them to be like, no, you know what? I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just stop here.
That's a good point. Yeah. So I would have to agree that sometimes I catch myself saying, well, honestly, and then I backtrack and I'm like, well, I'm always honest when it comes to the, you know, whatever it is. And I frame that, or I'll say honestly. And then I say, I don't know why I said that. I'm going to be honest and whatever. So I can get that one. What was the other one?
I was just joking.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, you agree with that one.
That one bothers me.
Yeah.
Because my kids use it a lot. Where they're being mean to each other. And then they're like, no, I was just kidding. And I was like, no, you weren't. Like, don't even go there. Like that
maybe
kind of stuff.
Maybe they were just joking, but they were being mean.
Yes. Yes. So that one to use, I'm just joking to kind of backtrack and say like, oh, no, I didn't mean it. Yeah, no, that one doesn't sit well with me.
But what if you were just joking and the joke fell flat? Because I'm sure I've done that before where I've said something dumb and I'm like, nah, I was just joking, man. I promise. They're not going to believe you, but if the joke fell flat.
Yeah. I see.
What do you say then? I'm really bad at telling that joke. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how to recover from that one. But
if you want my honest opinion, sometimes you have to say I was just joking.
And that's why they lumped it together. There you go. Obviously.
Okay, obviously.
Right?
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it is what it is. Oh, my word.
That's really good. No, yeah. I like that because it makes you think. It makes you think. Be careful with what you say and how you say it and how you use your words. Your words do matter. And that is good. I think Keith would have really enjoyed chiming into this as our wordsmith.
Mm, yeah, he's definitely a wordsmith. But
yeah. No, I appreciate that. That's a good perspective there, PJ. I think I'm going to be thinking about this.
Now I'm going to think about it too much. Now I'm not going to be able to talk at all. Now everything's just going to be silent. So no. What do you think?
You know, I wonder, does this happen to you at all? Mm-hmm. When you start to pay attention to constructive criticism, I'll call it that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you actually feel like you have to practice what you're going to say before you say it.
I should do that more, but I don't do that more. I have practiced like in the shower of stuff. But it's usually conversations that I'm never going to have.
Oh.
They're always like, well, what if they say this? What if they're angry with me? And then I go through this whole diatribe and then I never have the conversation.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I don't know if you're alluding to this, but this may be TMI, but I do my best thinking in the shower.
I do a lot of sermon writing in the shower.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know, for some reason.
Not writing because it's not writing, but.
I understand.
Don't
what you
sit
mean.
There with a pencil and pen.
You got waterproof
sermon outline
and paper, right? Is that what it is? Yeah. Your waterproof pen and paper, or iPad, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have crayons that I do on the wall, and my wife comes in. What is this?
That would be great. Oh my goodness!
Why is Nahum 2:1 on the?
I should do that. See what my wife tells me. I might get beat up. Anyhow,
like
I won't.
It's going to be like a crazy, like beautiful mind. Like,
there you go. There you go. But yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I do my best thinking in the shower. So just something to, I don't know,
yeah,
TMI.
Maybe so.
But what do you do with these phrases and when you hear this constructive criticism? Let us know at diverseonahill@gmail.com.
Yeah, what phrases do you think are rude?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good poll question there on the IG.
Do you have any words that are kind of a pet peeve to you?
Words. Ooh, I'd have to think about that.
I have one.
Do you have one? Go ahead, drop it.
Actually.
I have to think. Actually?
Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like that word?
Oof. So.
Okay.
When I was a dean, there was a kid who was in trouble and we kept talking to him and he kept saying actually. Uh-huh, well, actually, uh-huh. Actually. Now he was, English was a second language, but he said it so much. And now, I got to admit, my daughter uses it. Not in that same way, but in a different way, but I still find it a little bit grating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'll tell her something like, hey, the Dolphins won. Actually?
I got one.
Like, you, oh, it's the overuse of it too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, we're going out to eat. Actually?
Oh, yeah.
No, actually not. No.
I told you this for my health. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get you. That, you know what gets me? I know.
Oh.
Ooh, that phrase. So if I tell my daughter something, she's like, I know. Then if you know, do it. Yeah. Like that's the, oh, look at me getting all fired up now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but yeah, I know.
My mom uses that enough, a lot, especially when she doesn't know. And that's annoying. She'll say something and then she'll be having a conversation with my wife and my wife will be like, well, actually. This or
like
my mom will be like, I know.
It's
just a quick, for her, she uses it as a quick way to dismiss.
Right.
And get out of the uncomfortable conversation.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, no.
But the teenager way of using it is very annoying.
Yeah. It gets me out like.
I know. I'm like, the way they use it, like, I know.
Yeah, like, duh.
Well, then why are we?
Yeah, like, obviously, I know. Oh, goodness. Yeah, that one really, yeah. I always rebuttal it with, then do it. If you know, then do it.
Yeah.
Right. Anyhow.
Okay.
Woo. So what words?
Yeah. What are some of your pet peeve phrases or words?
Yeah.
Maybe we can try to put that as a poll.
Yeah. Let's try. I'll
try to remember that. I forgot the poll that we were supposed to do of what we're like, a band or,
right,
what
or
was
a
the
TV
other thing?
Series.
Or TV series. Yes. TV. I was trying to remember
both.
It.
Put them both. It doesn't matter.
Eh, we'll see.
We can always find out and share the results later.
Sure.
That's always fun.
If we remember.
we will.
Anyways, it's time to go, folks.
Yeah, it is.
You've been listening to us long enough. And we thank you for listening.
Yes, we do.
And let's have a quick word of prayer.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being an awesome God and for being graceful to us, even when we use words that are not correct. But yep. Lord, always give us wisdom when we have conversations with people.
Amen.
That our words will be peppered with grace, love, mercy, Lord, and that we will have mercy on those who maybe use words that are pet peeves to us. Yes. And that instead we can look at intent and look at people through your eyes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your love and grace, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Before you sign out, PJ. So listeners.
Thank you for listening.
So the idea is we may not have an episode next week.
Maybe.
But
maybe we won't.
But we will have a Thanksgiving special, hopefully.
Oh.
Where we're gonna have some others with us.
And if we don't, it is what it is.
And if we don't, it you're right. It would be what it is. You're right. You're totally right.
There's nothing we can change about it.
No, that's true. But again, just continue to be patient with us. We appreciate it. We're still working with Sponsor Time, and it'll be all good. So thank you for being an amazing
good
listeners. Go ahead.
Now go?
Yeah, now go.
Now. Okay. I can go now. Yeah, so we're ready.
You're good.
Right. Thank you for listening to Diversity on the Hill podcast. This is PJ, and it has been a blessing, but I am out.
Yeah, PK here. Many blessings. Some more blessings. There you go.
More blessings.
Till next time.